a message. It's so essential, such a elemental root issue. And I understand that many of us are going to bristle under it. So brace yourself. I want to talk about authority. Yay, authority. It's going to be wonderful. And how important this matter is for us as Christians, let alone just in a natural world. And so let us pray and ask the Lord to help. Lord, we pray for yet another revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything. Holy Spirit, speak to us, illuminate to us, Jesus. And may we also have this characteristic, which he lived out in perfection. Let us imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation of Jesus, part 12. So since January, considering different characteristics of Jesus. And 1 John 2:6 has been the continual lead verse. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. There's a lot of people that say that they're Christians, but that is, it's got to be more than just talk. So there's got to be the walk. There's got to be the characteristics of Christ. And a person that would presume to be a Christian, thinks they're a Christian, they're going to be like Christ. Not perfectly, but they're going to be moving in that direction. And so I want to look at this particular aspect of Jesus, which had to do with his honoring authority. John 8:49, Jesus answered, "I honor my Father." He had respect, and he revered his Father. Respect. How important is respect? You see a lot of respect these days, by the way. I mean, you could definitely tell it's lacking. Throw that pickup real quick. Just from time to time, you come across pictures like this. Old school classrooms, and you know, would you think that was like from five? You know, aside from the black and white, and even the attire, but would you think that's 5 years ago or maybe five decades ago? Did those kids, do you think, have perhaps all the teachers are like going, "Oh, that's like a dream come true"? We got many teachers in our church, by the way. But do you think there's respect in that group? Do you think those kids understood that teacher is the authority, and the self is not the be-all, end-all of authority, but there's a power above me? And we've probably all heard variations of this, of course, from the old days. And I'm not saying they're good old days, because there were excesses and problems there. I'd rather lean more in that direction, though. But we've probably all heard like something like unto man, when I was in school, if I got in trouble with the teacher and I went home, I got in trouble. My dad did the same thing. He punished me too. And so there was like this total agreement that you are going to respect authority. I remember years ago, a brother was telling me how that one of his kids were kind of like, they had this little bit of a sideways attitude towards me. And he said, "You are going to respect that man." And, you know, it's not so much about a person, but it's just that whole idea that there are positions of authority. There are powers beyond the self. And irrespective of the person per se, just that whole idea that I am not the sovereign, which is what we see today. What we see today is not a bunch of kids that are sitting there understanding that, you know, whatever that teacher says, I'm here to learn and I'm here to give respect. What we see today is total chaos. It's like just a total battle and kind of like a mob mentality, that everybody in their own eyes is the king and the sovereign, and that everybody else should understand that. And that's why there's so much disorder and chaos. But to put a fine point on it, authority. Authority is a power greater than self. And when people are so in love with themselves and they worship themselves, which is where our generation is, this reminded me of something that I've heard from time to time of the tragedy of selfie deaths. Y'all know what a selfie is? And every so often you'll hear about somebody that plunged to their death because they took a selfie and they were in a risky position. There was even a, and I don't want to promote it or in any way dishonor that, it's tragic, but there was a couple that in Yosemite that they took one of these selfie pics, and that was like the last pic of their life because they both plunged to their death. And it almost provides a snapshot, if you will, of what many people's lives are like over what is relatively a long haul. That is, they are so in love with themselves and so they so disrespect any power beyond themselves. See, a lot of those that plunged to their death, they were taking a risk and they weren't respecting a power that was greater than them, i.e. gravity. And in a way, authority is like a power in the universe. It's how the universe runs. God is the power. And then he segregates or allocates that power. And he even speaks to the physical universe. He upholds the universe, Hebrews chapter 1. He upholds or maintains the laws of nature by the word of his power. So in other words, if he stopped sustaining the laws of nature, everything would just fall apart. It would descend into chaos. And so there's an authority in the natural realm, and there's an authority in the spiritual realm, in the social realm, that is of God. And when that is not respected, then you have these lives that are lived that are all about self, 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 self. And I resent authority. I resent authority. I even hate a message like this. I'm playing defense because there's been bad authorities, so therefore all authority. I'm playing defense against a message like this. There's lives that are lived like that, and then at the end, there's a death. There's a horrible death. There's the judgment and the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so those death by selfies, if you will, are lived out over years and decades of just total self-centeredness and a rabid disrespect against the way God runs things, i.e. against authority. You know, thinking about gravity, if you will, Satan underestimated the gravity of his resistance to authority. Satan presumed that, hey, who's he to tell me what to do? I will be like him. I will ascend gravity. And yeah, he presumed to ascend, and he was thrown headlong onto the third rock from the sun called planet Earth. And now he's relegated to running to and fro across that rock until he's goes even deeper into a pit for 1,000 years and then has the lake of fire for all eternity. That whole satanic experience is the essence of the hatred of authority and the love of self. And so when a Christian who now has an advantage because they have the Holy Spirit that is now teaching them the right ways, when a Christian resists authority and is like a permanent defiant person, and who are they? Who's anybody to tell me what to do? And they have this ongoing angst against the very structure that God put in place, be it in the home, be it in the civil realm, be it in school, be it on the job. When they have that dishonor and disrespect, ultimately they are harming themselves and they're giving Christianity a bad name. Jesus, who's the only human being in human history who did not have to have any respect, did not have to revere, because he is the power, he's the creator, he himself made a choice in the counsels of the Godhead that I will be unto you a son, you shall be unto me a father. I will be unto you a father, you shall be unto me a son. And with that now positionally, even though we're peers in the Godhead, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet, we're going to demonstrate this whole concept that the human race has turned on its head, basically. And that's why that's one of the huge reasons why the world is an absolute mess, is because they're going against the flow, if you will. They're basically fighting gravity. They're living these risky lives where they don't respect the power. They don't respect the force of nature. They're all selfie-oriented, and I'll do as I please, no matter, you know, there's not going to be any cost to it. Yeah, there's a cost when you fall off the ledge. Well, Jesus demonstrated perfectly this respect. I honor my authority, though peers in the Godhead, I honor my Father, John 8:49. Now, to honor is to value and to venerate. It's purposeful positioning. I make a choice to give you value and you honor as my Father, and it ultimately represents a life submitted to authority. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 or 51, we see even with Jesus, the first experience with authority, and this is where we all, as human beings, we have our first schooling, if you will, or educational process with authority, and that has to do with father and mother. In Luke 2, 46 or 51, after 3 days when they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father," now supposed father, Joseph, "and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, the first recognition of authority with Jesus was God himself. God is my Father. And there is this bit of a clarification. Of course, you know, you should have known where to look for me. They were looking for 3 days. What a panic mode they must have been in, by the way. That's like a worst-case scenario for a parent. But here I am. You should have probably guessed that I would be about my Father's business here. Verse 50, they didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth, and look at this, and was submissive to them. The one that created them is the one that is submissive to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, again, the only one in human history that did not need to be subordinate, submissive, or accommodate authority was Jesus. And yet, he demonstrates this submission to his first delegated authority. Because all authorities come from God himself. He's the source, and he delegates authority to parents, to in governmental situations, in the church. He delegates this power. And the first training grounds of reckoning with authority is in the family. And it's one of the greatest predictors of success in a child's life. So Jesus submitted himself to authority, and he continued on under the command, under the authority of his Father. John 5, 17 through 19. Now, this enters into Jesus' 3 years of ministry. And Jesus is always demonstrating a subordination. The only one in human history that did not have to be subordinate is subordinating himself to an authority greater than himself, peers in the Trinity, but for the purposes of humanity, I am the Son, you are the Father. And by the way, that's called a clue. If the one who didn't have to subordinate himself did it, don't you think we should be very subordinate, very submissive, very sensitive to honor authority? So here in John 5, 17 through 19, but Jesus answered that my Father is working until now, and I am working. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They had a very accurate understanding that even saying you're the Son of God makes you appear with God. Indeed. Verse 19, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Now, Jesus certainly could have operated from his own accord and been 100% perfect and accurate and precise in everything possible. Instead, he and the Father worked this out, that you're the lead and I'm going to follow you. You're the authority and I'm going to submit unto you. I am going to demonstrate how these people should be living, the way of life, the way of authority. John 8, 26 or 28, we see the restraint that we see so little of with people who resist authority, people who resent authority, people who say, well, I've got a right and I can do as I please. We don't see that with Jesus here. John 8, 26, I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. If we just took that passage today and applied that to our lives, how much trouble would that save us? Because so many of us have mouths that are unrestrained. And it's almost like, you know, it could be asked, do you ever think something that you don't say? We just talk, talk, talk. And Jesus, who could have judged them, and everything he would have judged would have been 100%, and who could have said a whole lot of other things, he said, hold on, I'm under restraint. I'm under an authority. I make a choice to let my words be few. I make a choice to only say what the Father is permitting me to say. This is somebody that's under command. This is somebody that respects and honors authority. John 12, 27 through 28, now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now, the Son is concerned about the glory of the Father. He does not see his life as his own. It's under the shadow of the his Father above. And everything I do is about him. And so he's not into his own identity. He's not sensitive about critiques. He didn't come to make of his own reputation. You know, so much that affects certainly our society, all hypersensitive about what everybody thinks about them. And that's not Jesus. Everything is about him. So, you know, if you've got a problem, take it up with my Father. You know, I think it was 6 months ago, so I gave a message about Jesus serving. And it's like, you know, someone that says, hey, I just work here. You know, take it up with the manager. They kind of have this way of dealing with things and just let things roll off. And that's Jesus. All his ministry is, hey, I'm just working here for him. So, you know, everything's about him. Father, glorify your name. The Father responds, I have glorified it. Obviously, I'm already glorified because of the way you subject yourself to me. One of the greatest ways, if you are true and honest, and you want God to be glorified, you want God to be high and lifted up, well, it doesn't have to do with some type of energy or impressing people or a bunch of razzle-dazzle or I'm going to do this great feat and that'll glorify God. One of the greatest ways to glorify God is just to submit to the Lord in what he has for you to do right now. What has he called you to do? So the Father says, I've already glorified it. You have already glorified me, son, and I'm going to glorify it again. That is through the cross of Jesus Christ. He just said that I've come to this hour, this purpose. And so, yeah, the glory of the Father is going to be complete. But we could also take it in another sense that God has glorified his name through Jesus Christ in his life, in his ministry, his crucifixion, resurrection. And now he does it again through his body, the church. We are also the I will glorify it again in as far that we submit ourselves to God, that we yield ourselves, that we're not constant, defiant, rebellious, stubborn, you know, I'm going to do what I want, you know, just rebellious bunch of brats. But instead, when we have that compliance, you know, it's like, am I a defiant person or am I a deferential person when it comes to God and the kingdom? What D would best describe me? Do I lean towards defiance? You know, here he goes again, going to do his own thing, strong-willed, stubborn, stupid. Or is there more, is a heavenly assessment of me that even though he does stupid things, he is a deferential person. I mean, even in his sin, he still has a fear and a submission, and, oh, I better make this right, which actually honors and glorifies God. How would the Holy Spirit label you? It might be a little nerve-wracking if the word appeared over our head right now. Some of us are defiant. Some are deferential. We defer to the authority of God Almighty. Now, three closing thoughts on authority, and we're done. Number one, adaptability in authority. Matthew 17, 24 through 27. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." When he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax, from their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." Now, a lesser power confers to a greater power. That is the nature of things. It's like in the book of Genesis, though Abraham was God's friend and extremely highly regarded, Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek. Melchizedek represented a greater power and authority at that time. And so the blessings go upward. The gifts go upward. And so this is a bit of an inversion because Jesus shouldn't be paying the tax. Actually, all taxation and all blessings should be coming in his direction. But there's also an adaptability with Christ. He had this nimbleness, this flexibility, that even though he's in charge of everything, first of all, he's willing to submit himself to his peer in the Trinity, his Father. Secondly, he's even willing to go so far as to stoop to the way things are done. Now, obviously, it's not a sinful thing because he never sinned. But what's the culture like here? Well, what's happening in this place? Who's in charge? And so in verse 27, however, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. And so rather than just disrupting things like, hey, I'm the one in charge, you all should be, you know, given to me and I'm going to fight the system of this situation. Instead, there's an accommodation. Okay, you know, we don't want to offend where we don't have to. And even though they don't understand that I am the sovereign one, that I am the authority, I'm willing to submit in this situation and to give the tax, the temple tax, the shekel, for you and for I. What does this suggest to us? Well, as people that have authority, okay, husbands, fathers, business owners, bosses, teachers, principals, you work, perhaps you work in the government, as people that have authority, it is never about lording that authority over other people. A person that has to push and to lord their authority, to constantly say, hey, I'm in charge, is not doing themselves a favor. There are times, now, it's all situational here. Of course, when your children are young, when you give them advice, you actually insist that they take it, or there's going to be consequences. However, there comes a point where they get to an age where you, as an authority, could give them advice, but now it's not, I insist you take it, but I invite you to consider it. Big difference. And to have that adaptability, it's like there's been times as pastor, I'm in a situation, maybe I'm on a mission trip or coming to someone's class, and even though I may be the one that is seen as the authority, I now submit to what's going on in that classroom, or I submit to the leaders that have been empowered to be over a situation. Even if at times I may not agree with the way they're going about it. Now, if it's something destructive or harmful, then, you know, I need to step in. But there's times where you have to adapt and to allow people to grow in their own authority. And I know it's not necessarily apples to apples with this situation here in Capernaum, but the adaptability part certainly is, that Jesus could recognize a particular situation, and sure, I'm in charge, I would do it differently, but let's just submit to the situation for the time being and to allow for growth. It's like when you go to your kids' houses, perhaps, and even though you raised them and you trained them and they should still respect you as an authority, when you go into their house, now you're, in a way, under their authority and the way they do things. And you may have to bite your tongue at times, but you recognize another authority. And that is honoring to God. Also, when you're an authority and you're always trying to control situations, say on the job, you give somebody a task, but, you know, you're a control freak perhaps, and you want to go in and, oh, no, we need to do it this way and that way, then you're not giving that person an opportunity to grow in their own authority and abilities to do work. And so being able to adapt at times where it's appropriate and not always have this power fix that, hey, I'm in charge and everybody should just fall in line. Really, only God can perfectly do the, hey, I'm in charge and everybody else should fall in line. We need to be careful with how we execute authority. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says that you elders of the church should not be lording your authority, but you should be shepherding the flock. And that means, you know, knowing your sheep, being sensitive to them. And even though you're in charge, it's more about they are your charge. You are responsible to help them and to grow them. And so be careful with how you use your authority. Number two, closing thoughts, upsourcing authority. John 19:10-11. So Pilate said to them, now here's Jesus on trial. Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Now that is the typical carnal way of authority. That is that the Gentiles, or typically governmental officials, you know, you could say 95% of people that have power, it goes to their heads. And instead of seeing people as I've got power to help them, it's now about I've got power and how can I control them? And then equally important, how can I keep my power in perpetuity? That's the way a lot of people have unfortunately taken the delegated authority of God and have abused it. So Pilate is definitely in that mix. And here he is, he's He's talking to the one that created him. I mean, he's a total idiot here. He's talking to the one that created him and saying, well, don't you know? You know, it'd be like a little kid pointing to an adult. Don't you know that I got power to control you? And all that adult's got to do is kind of pick that kid up and move him around or her around. That's what's going on with Pilate. That's what the angels are saying. My goodness, this guy's a knucklehead. Say, you don't you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, hey, buddy, you'd have no authority. You know, that's a paraphrase. You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has a greater sin. Oh, okay. All right, they'll deal with them. We actually had to help them one time in a Bible study, and we were able to help them pretty fast. So we got 911 coming for that. Let's pray. God, help Roger. We pray that you would just relieve him and bring him the people speedily to help him. And we've seen you bring him through this before, and we pray you bring him through this again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's continue on, brothers and sisters. That will be taken care of. So this whole upsourcing authority, a submitted person always acknowledges God in all their ways. So a person that understands and reckons with and submits to God is a person that is more able to trust in the Lord with all their heart and to say, you know what, no matter what befalls me in my life, it is not this person or this situation. They're not the sovereignty. Pilate, you are not the sovereignty. You're only being allowed for a season to be part of this work of darkness. Actually, it's my Father that's in total control. And you know what? That is a relief. When we get to a point in our lives, and I know this is tough. I mean, this is a position of maturity. When we get to a point in our lives where we can always acknowledge God, that it's not a boss, it's not a president, it's not any other force, natural force in this world, that is actually the beginning and the end of authority. They only, even Satan himself, he doesn't have power in and of himself. Now, he has great influence, but ultimately, God, just like with Job, ultimately, God was the one that was running the whole show. And the more we recognize and honor authority, the less stress, the less analysis paralysis and worry and anxiety will rule our lives. Some of us are filled with fear and anxiety and insecurity, and we're easily rattled. And one of the reasons is because we have not grasped authority. We're not submitted to authority as we should be, so that like Jesus kind of matter-of-factly says, oh, it's not really you, Pilate. It's my Father. And ultimately, his Father allowed him to go to the cross. And ultimately, into your hands I commit my spirit. And his Father would not let him remain in Sheol. His Father brought him and raised him from the dead. And brothers and sisters, it's the same for us. We've got a good God, we've got a good Father, and he just happens to be the one that's in charge of everything. And so don't let a bunch of other things rattle you. Don't be constantly worried and filled with panic, fear like the world is. One of the reasons why the world is so easily agitated is because they don't have a true sense of authority. They see themselves as their own authority, or they worship the government. And no wonder they're disappointed. But if they really understood a good God and his true authority and everything's about him, and then they submitted themselves to him, they wouldn't be as easily rattled. And so, brothers and sisters, that should be us. We are constantly upsourcing, looking to him. And as we do, we receive of him, and we gain a peace which passes understanding. It guards our hearts and minds. final closing thought here is subjection and success. Who would like to be successful? Just quick. I know, define your terms. But would you rather be successful or a failure? Okay. I would rather be a success, and of course, in God's eyes, in the ways that count. One of the greatest predictors of true success has to do with reckoning with authority. Not so much education, not so much reputation and worldly standards, accomplishments, but how are you as far as authority goes? How would you be graded? If the Holy Spirit was to grade you, would you get an A in terms of understanding authority, submitting to authority? Would you get an F? Well, the higher your grade, the greater your opportunity for success in ways that count. Romans 13, 1 through 2. By the way, Romans 13, 1 through 4 are like the New Testament verses on authority. If you want to read those later, just write in Romans 13, 1 through 4. But here, since we don't have so much time, Romans 13, 1 through 2, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So that's upsourcing. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and who will and those who resist incur judgment. There are people, even Christians, that are constantly resisting authority. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul before he became the Apostle Paul. Jesus said to him, how long are you going to kick against the goads? You just keep running into that wall. You're not receiving the authority of Christ. You're actually in resistance. How's that working out for you, by the way? Not so good. And the sooner we come to understand that God has put authorities in our life, God has put our parents, children, God has put your parents as authorities in your life to recognize and to respect, the sooner we understand in a marriage situation, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Oh, does submission mean I'm less? Is Jesus less because he submitted himself to his Father? Not at all. They're peers. And husbands and wives, you are peers. You are co-heirs of grace. Positionally, God has given the man the greater burden of leadership. The world would say, oh, they're the blessed ones because they got leadership. But by the way, most leaders come to find out that being in leadership, unless you got a power trip, being in leadership is not necessarily a blessing, right? Those who have been in leadership positions. And so God has allowed a husband to cover his wife. And what's the wife going to do? Is she just going to constantly resist and resist? And well, he's this and he doesn't do that. Or is she going to make a choice and say, you know what? Yeah, he's not perfect. Yeah, he's a jerk. But it's not necessarily sin or ungodly. And I'm going to submit to him as best I can, and I'm going to leave him to God and let God deal with the one that he has delegated as an authority. Let every person, are you going to keep resisting your employer? Are you going to keep critiquing and gossiping about your boss? Are you going to keep dissing the teacher and all the authorities? You know, what's going to happen when the cops roll up, police officers roll up on you sometime, and they come and they say, hey, do you know why I pulled you over? You're going to say, well, that's your job. Don't you know what you're doing? By the way, when he or she asks that question, they're not asking it because they don't know. They're doing actually an authority check. They're doing an attitude check. They're seeing, is this person somebody that recognizes a power over and above themselves? And sadly, probably the higher percentage anymore is a situation where people don't recognize authority. And you know, oh, there's drug dealers out there and you're pulling me over. I mean, it's instantly this resistance. Okay, you're going to live in a way that's always resistant, always resistant. I'm anti. I'm hostile. I'm angry. That's not going to work out so well for you. You could even be 100% right and still turn out to be 100% wrong, with an ongoing, defiant, rebellious attitude which turns the nose of God. And so if you want to succeed in life, you want to have some degree of peace, you know, honor authority as much as you're able to. You may not even be able to honor the person. There are people that it's almost impossible to respect and honor that person. They're just such jerks or incompetence or evil. However, their position, that's a whole different story. You might say, oh, that's impossible. I mean, look at the president we have. How can we honor such a guy? Hey, Peter said, honor the emperor supreme. Guess who his emperor was, by the way? Nero, crazy guy. Just some thoughts, by the way. I told you you'd bristle under this today. Ephesians 6:2-3, there's that first predictor of success. Honor your father and mother. Oh, by the way, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. Greatest indicator, predictor of a halfway decent life, a healthy life, is how a child understands and lines up with authority early on. Now, my dad was not a good authority. He was very rough, alcoholic, and just plain old mean. However, I always submitted to his authority. I saw that this man is my father, and I learned early on, honor your father and mother. And so he wasn't trying to get me to do something that was sinful. He wasn't anything like that, because then I'd have to honor God above him, of course. But I still respected my dad, and one of the reasons that I enjoy a halfway decent life in terms of health, in terms of wealth, in terms of relationships and family, is not education. It's not because I made the right connections or I'm some witty guy. One of the real reasons is because I made a choice to honor my father, and of course my mother, honor her, and even an aggressive, difficult authority. By making that choice, it has gone well with me. I have been blessed. Here's a couple quick examples and we're done. Ruth 3:5-6. And Ruth replied, all that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law. All her mother-in-law jokes, right? Did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. Now, if you've never read Ruth, you're in for a treat. I'm a little bit envious. Awesome, precious book, a love story. But one of the little things here is Ruth stuck with her mother-in-law against thick and thin. And she didn't have this ongoing defiance. Well, I know better. I've got more experience. You know, I'm younger, stronger. I'm the one doing all the work while you're sitting at home. No. She continued to honor her mother-in-law, and it became such a blessing. One day, her mother-in-law said, do exactly what I say. Now, how many people take that well in this day and age? You know how hard it is to give a command, like an authoritative command to people these days? Like, who in the heck do you think you are to tell me what to do? I'm going to do whatever I want. Ruth got the finger, you do exactly what I say and don't veer from this. And what did Ruth do? She did just as her mother-in-law commanded her, and the rest is history. Out of her obedience, here comes King David. Out of her obedience, here comes greater still, Jesus Christ. Talk about a predictor of success or failure when a person is constantly defiant. 1 Samuel 26:20, you know, you say, well, you know, you don't know what authorities I've dealt with. I've dealt with a bunch of mean people and jerks, and so that's my excuse for being constantly defiant. Now, look, I'm not saying that we just fall in line with every evil thing an authority tells us to do. There are times to resist. I mean, think about the three boys in the book of Daniel, or Daniel in the lion's den. That's resistance, okay? But God wants us to always honor authority, whether or not they're pleasant, be they evil or just, because it ultimately points to Him. It upsources to Him. And like Caleb put in his awesome opening, sometimes God puts difficult people in our lives in order to sort us out. And God put a Saul in David's life in order to get the Saul out of David. Who knows what David would have become when he got power if he had not dealt with this horrible authority figure, i.e. King Saul. So 1 Samuel 26 here, verse 23, the Lord, so context, Saul's chased, David's authority, Saul, is chasing him to kill him. David is public enemy number one. He's on the run. David and his men are in a cave, and wouldn't you know it, Saul comes and takes a nap in that cave while he's pursuing David. And so, the Lord has delivered him into your hands. Kill that guy who's trying to kill you. David lets him go, but David does go and tear off a corner of his robe. Then later on, David and Saul have this discussion from a distance, and David says this to Saul. He says, "The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today." He could even say it was a God-given thing. God was testing him. Just because God gave it doesn't mean he wanted to follow through on it. God was testing him. And David passed the test. "And I would not put my hand against the Lord's anointed." The guy is a jerk. He's a madman. He's trying to kill me. But I still recognize authority. And you don't touch God's authority. "I will not put my hand against you, Saul." Verse 24. "Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord." Now look at this. "As I treated you with respect as an authority, even though you're a jerk, as I treated you and sought your well-being, this will also affect me vertically. The Lord will preserve, my life will be precious in the sight of the Lord." Because the way you treat authorities and authority in general and authorities specifically is the way you're treating God. As hard and twisted as it all might seem, there's a lot of wrestling that goes on with that because there's a carnal side of us. There's a defiant side of us from birth that hates all authority. But David passed the test. Verse 25, "Then Saul said to David, 'Blessed be you, my son. You will do many things and succeed in them.' So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place," ultimately to his demise. And so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord challenge us today with this message. And there are certainly things that we're going to be thinking about for a while. Maybe we need to make some things right. Maybe we need to think about some people differently or repent to the Lord. And so let the Lord help us because we're in an ultra-defiant age. We are in a satanic age that is going off the charts. We're a far cry from those school pictures where even the common man had a basic fear of God and a respect from authority. Those days are gone. We are entering into a hostile antichrist. You're everything. You're God. Do as you please. We need to totally be moving against that. We need to be resisting that and honoring God and honoring delegated authorities. So let's pray if we could. We'll stand and ask the Lord to help us because I need help. You know, I still get frustrated, particularly in political ways. I mean, I get stuff all over that constantly, you know, irritates me, and that's right, you know. And I got to be careful because I can be 100% right and still be 100% wrong. Ask God to help me and ask God to help us. And so if you need a little help in terms of authority, why don't you raise your hands? Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to have a heart that pleases you. Help us to honor authority in its different realms. Help us to adapt if we are an authority, to be able to not lord it, but to be a healthy authority. And to be a blessing. Help us regarding authorities that we can't stand, authorities that we can't wait till they're gone. Lord, help us to be just be careful and to always upsource, to always honor you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this message, perhaps a reproof this day. I also ask, Lord, today if there's some here, they have not yet surrendered themselves to you, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be saved and be in heaven forever and ever. Call upon the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. We praise you, God, for this day. We praise you for this gathering. We praise you for taking care of Roger and for full healing there, God, and helping the family through this. We just commit this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings upon you.